may be seated. The sermon this morning is from Romans chapter 12. Please do join me there. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Pray with me. Our Lord, we thank you for the word that you give us. Bless us now and cause us to seek your face and your instruction for our daily lives, that we will not walk in futility and in emptiness, laboring in vain, but that we would see a good return from our efforts, and that we would find ourselves rejoicing in who you are and what you have done and what you have created us to be. Bless us now, Lord, and help us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of times I've told you the story of the little boy at Frontier Club when I was trying to teach them the work to do and the blessing of having the right tool for the job. And I brought out a board and I had some screws started in it, and I had two volunteers come forward, and I gave one boy a butter knife and I gave the other boy a screwdriver. And I was going to have them have a competition to see who could do the work to get it in the fastest, that they would see having the tool for the job would do it. Well, the thing that I didn't realize was the little boy with the screwdriver didn't know what a screwdriver was. And when I said, okay, get ready, guys, and the little boy took the screwdriver and he held it by the shaft, not the handle, and I looked at him and I said, what are you doing? He said, I don't know how, Pastor Ramsey, but I'll make this work. No clue that he had been given a tool for a job. He was equipped for the work at hand, and he was just going to stand there and beat on it and not going to accomplish anything. He was about to labor in vain. His wheels would have been spinning. Nothing would have been being accomplished. As we look at our lives and we look here, we see that we have been made as members. We have been made as parts of a body, and each of us have been given gifts. And these gifts are for purposes to accomplish different things. Here in the scripture, it's even being called a gift, and it's being called faith, that our faith is being exercised by us doing the things that we have been made to do. I expect most of you, if not all of you, have found the blessing of that at some point. Some of us have had the opportunity to go to a piano recital where Taylor has taught children to play the piano, and you look and you can see the joy on Taylor's face as her students are working and doing the gifts that they have. Some of us have had children who are athletes, and we've seen them work and train and train. We look and we see them go out there and we see them doing something beautiful, and we can smile as we see them using their gifts that they have been trained to have. Others, on a grander scale, there's people in our midst that you have invested in. You see them rising up and you see them doing good things in the church and actually fulfilling roles and meeting needs in the church. And in those areas, we look and we rejoice. Bigger and more beautiful than that is the Heavenly Father who has made you, has given you faith, has given you gifts, and now you are put in the place to exercise your faith and those gifts, that your Heavenly Father will look and see and beam. And this is the call this morning for you to exercise your faith by exercising the gifts that he has given you. Now, you may listen now and think, well, surely not me. I have so little to offer. I have been so messed up. I have fallen so many times. I am disqualified. This past week, I was dealing with a man whose father had committed suicide. And you could see the despair in this man's face. And the group that was talking with him, someone else, saw it too. And they pointed at him and said, "Not you. Not you too. You can't give up. You can't quit." A despair comes over us sometimes. We look at our labors, we look at our efforts, we see, again, our shortcomings, we see our failures, and sometimes we think, I am disqualified. I will not be used anymore. And the message that I always give in those situations is that God is not done with you because he's holding you together. God is not done with you because he's giving you breath. This command that is going out, this is the first step. Pay attention to your steady command. Pay attention to your steady command. Verse 3, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." The work that Paul has been given here, "For through the grace given to me," Paul says, that grace given to him, he has been given the authority of God to speak to every one of you. In the beginning of Romans 1, verse 5, he says, "Through whom we have received grace," he's talking about the apostles, "we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. So the work being done, the work that we're being called to, is the work of faith, the obedience of faith. By God's grace, he is sent to bring about the obedience of faith, and we see he's talking to you. For through the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, each of you, as the body of Christ, you have been given grace, you have been given gifts, and he has work for you to do, that you will glorify him and you will find yourselves complete in this labor. Now, to our second step. Be made strong in your faith by living out your faith. Again, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Now, this idea of the faith here, what are we talking about? We understand that faith is the way that you are saved, a gift that you have been given. We're not just talking in those terms. We're not talking about your saving faith now at this point. We're talking about you having been saved. He is giving you gifts. Here he's talking about the gifts and abilities. Gifts are given along with faith and then used and exercised by faith. When I'm saying exercised by faith, we're not necessarily thinking of going to the gym and working out, but we're talking about doing those things that you have been equipped to do. You've seen the futility of the world. You've experienced the futility of the world. Maybe some of you have sat and you've watched multiple movies and you've eaten ice cream that whole time, and afterwards you just feel blah. And you look back the next morning, you think, boy, that was dumb. I feel terrible. I've accomplished nothing. I've gotten no traction. haven't moved forward in anything whatsoever. You've also done those other works, haven't you? Where you know that there's a need in the church. And you've gone and you've worked, not for men, but for God and his glory. You've moved forward and you have felt the effects of that. Romans 12:6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. We've got work to do. Each of us have work to do. We have work to do in this body with one another, for one another, that we would be moved forward. Are we a tractor sitting with one wheel still and one wheel turning and not going anywhere? In each of us, we could raise up accusations as to why this is the case. You're not doing this. The preacher's not doing that. He's not doing this. He is that way. He is this way. But each of you have your gifts to exercise for the building up of the body. Now, this matter of faith, and we look, and many of us could probably say, I don't have a lot. Not many of us here are called to be preachers. And you can say, I'm not a preacher. What can I do? You may say, I'm not an elder. What can I do? I'm not a deacon. What can I do? What gifts do you have? What have you been given to use for the building up of the kingdom? Now, as we do this, we're going to look at our gifts broadly first. Number 3, exercise your faith over your given dominion. Romans 12:4-6. For just as we have many members in one body, and all of the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body and individually members of one another. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul described it, we're not all ears and we're not all eyes. There's things that you can do that I can't do. If we were having a fellowship meal today, or you were upstairs cooking and I came and started butting in, and I started grabbing the Crisco, and I was trying to help, and I started grabbing the sugar, and I was trying to help, and I was trying to grab the butter, and I was trying to help, I hope you women would say, get out of the kitchen. Get out of here. There's different areas and different gifts that each of us have, and God has given you your gifts, and you are to be doing your function, your work. And I could tell lots of stories about people not doing their functions, not doing their works, and merely getting in the way in different circumstances and different situations. So our next step, number four, is take dominion over yourself. Now this idea of dominion, I don't know what words, what pictures that conjures up for you. I'm talking about you having been given a job and a work to do specifically. If I told my kids to, Nate, you clean the living room, Elia, you clean the dining room, Amos, you clean the classroom, and I go and somebody else was in that room, or Amos is complaining about the way Elia's cleaning the living room, for example, it would be a problem. I would say, Amos, go take care of the classroom. Take care of your own dominion. Complaining about someone else's bedroom being a wreck when your bedroom is a wreck. We take care of our own dominion. So number four, take care over yourself, or take dominion over yourself. Verse four, for just as we have many members in one body, and all of the members do not have the same function. Paul is speaking, he deals with this in himself. For through the grace given to me, he looks at the dominion that he has been given, and he labors and works there. Now the threat that we have is, none of us really want to do our own dominion. We don't like it. We think, surely there's something better I could be doing. And one of the things is, if I have a job to do, I look around the house and I look for something else to do. Whatever would be easier, whatever I feel like I could accomplish quickly, I want to get that done. I've worked with small children, and it's time to clean up. And I say, you pick up all the stuffed animals. The last thing that child wants to do is pick up all of the stuffed animals. They want to do everything else. And I've seen some grins and some smirks. You get the idea. You've experienced this yourself. Now, this is the case with man in general. See, the threat is to move outside of your given dominion. We'd rather do it. Each of us would rather do it. Genesis 3:5, when Satan is speaking to Eve, he said, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The original threat, the original temptation, was to move outside of the dominion that man had been given, and to change things, and to alter things, to make it what we would have it be. In Matthew 27:17-18, so when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you? Barabbas? Or Jesus, who is called the Christ? For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over. We are each in the place with envious hearts, where we want the dominion beyond our own or outside of our own to do those other things. To take dominion over yourself means clean your room. Clean your room. Take the gifts that you have been given. Use the gifts that you have been given. In Psalm 100, which we love singing, Psalm 100C, we see the message and the idea that we ought to have, or we must have, over our dominions. Serve the Lord with gladness. This is even clean your room with gladness. And I'm using that as a metaphor for whatever your dominion is. Our dominions, they can be messy. Some of our dominions are changing diapers. Not much fun changing a diaper. I changed my first diaper in years in the past couple months. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. Oftentimes our dominions will stink. They may be labor intensive. They may be thankless for a long, long time. But we don't labor for thanks from men. But we are serving the Lord with gladness. Our first step now, or our next step in taking dominion over yourself, this is number 5, is dominion over your mind. This would be better stated, take dominion over your mind. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. And think in these terms, the world, and thinking in terms of the satanic realm. Satan had made this plan back in Eden, and he said, don't you want to be like God? That is the dominion of this world. The world and the people in it, they want to be like God, not in the sense that they will follow him, but in the sense that they would trump him and they would have the authority over their own lives apart from what he has said. We look and we see that we are to labor to take dominion over our minds, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So the garbage that is in there, the ugly that is in there, everything contrary to God's will that is in there, we kill it. We kill it. Do not be conformed to this world. It means don't keep being like it in that form, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. I don't know if there's a more difficult battle out there. You know your thoughts. And I have this challenge. People think that I'm this holy man. And in a sense, I'm a holy man that I have been set apart for service to God. But people talk to me and they interact with me as if I have arrived. And people seem shocked when I indicate to them, no, I haven't arrived. And I try to convince them that I tell the congregation, my own church, I know how messed up you are. Because I know how messed up I am. We haven't arrived. But we are in a place where our minds need transformed, each one of us. So I'm calling on you to look and see in your life where you would be moving outside of your dominion and how your thinking is leading you there. Where are you thinking? I've been told this, and although it says it in Scripture, that's not what I should do. That's not who I should be. And these thoughts continue on and continue on and continue on, and we hold on to them. And the struggle is so hard. Many of us, we've been thinking a certain way for years, for decades. And we have these lies that we have said again and again and again to ourselves, that they are so deeply ingrained in us that we'll hear the whispers of them when we close our eyes or in a quiet moment. This takes an active battle. An active battle to throw these things down and to replace them with truth that glorifies God. So the ways that we do this, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So we take the thoughts that we have that are wicked. We see how they are contrary to Scripture. We find the answer for those things in Scripture. We memorize it. And when these lies and these wicked things come into our heads, we answer them with Scripture. And we say it again and again and again. And we beat it down and we beat it out. And we conform our minds being renewed. This is dominion over your mind. And we look at these things and we say these things because we're being set up for other labors. But what other labors can we have if we don't have dominion over ourselves? Over our minds, over our hearts, over our hands. Our next step. Take dominion over your heart. Take dominion over your heart. I'm going to point you to Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This battle is going to be the hardest and ugliest battle of your life against the enemy in your own chest. The things that we say to ourselves, the things that we would love, the things that we would believe, the heart is exceedingly wicked, exceedingly sick. So Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Why? Because if something is going to lead you astray, that's the first culprit. That's the thing that's going to take you away. That's the thing that will move you from Christ and move you from service to Christ and to serving yourself. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, watching over your heart with all diligence, this is also going to look like taking dominion over your own body. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And this will look like engaging yourself when you don't feel like it. Engaging your dominion when you don't feel like it. Your household, your friends, your family. You'll look at yourself and you'll say, well, this is hard. You'll look and you'll say, easier said than done. I was talking to a young man recently, and he was describing having been exercising and not benefiting from it. And he didn't know why he wasn't benefiting from all of his exercise. He said, I'm not even getting sore. Well, later he came to me and he said, hey, I figured it out. And I asked, what did you learn? And his answer was, well, before, when I was doing the curls, I would get to a point and I would say, oh, this is hard. I should stop. And he would quit. And he said, but now I get it. When it's hard, that's good. And I should keep going. And he said, now I'm sore. Now I'll see some benefit is the idea. In our lives, in our work, in our relationships, in our minds, when it gets hard, that's good. When it's hard, You're not going with the flow of the world. When it's hard, you are no longer being conformed to the world, but you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. As long as you're following God's word, we don't suffer as those who do evil, but we suffer as those who are following Christ. So the message this morning, as well as the message tonight, is to exercise your faith for God's glory and for His smile. Pray with me. Lord, You are unveiling Yourself to us as You unveil our own hearts, where we see our weakness and our sins, our shortcomings, our sloth and laziness. God, please bring us to a repentance and give us Your encouragement that we would labor in accordance with Your will and purpose. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm.